We'll open up, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. We began last week our study that we're calling Identity, a study of Ephesians. This week, we're going to begin by looking back at our history. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy studying history. I don't enjoy writing papers and taking tests on history, but I enjoy studying history. Did you know 201 years ago today, Francis Scott Key witnessed the bombardment of Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. Randa, when was that war? Was it 1812? Okay, just checking on that. But yes, during that war, Francis Scott Key watched the bombardment of Fort McHenry and penned down some thoughts, some words about a poem about the defense of Fort McHenry, and years later, it would be set to music and called the Star-Spangled Banner, and in 1931, it was declared the national anthem of our great country. 201 years ago today, he penned those words. Now, why is history so important? Why do we care about history? There's been a number of history students over the years who've always wondered, why do I have to know all of this stuff that happened long before I was born? Well, there is the quote from George Santayana, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And it is important that we know our history, that we know where we've come as a society, and where we've come as Christians. And as a follower of Christ, it's important to know our past, our individual past, and where we have come from, and what God has done in our life as well. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, as we open up and look at chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Look at our past so that hopefully we might not repeat it. So join with me there, starting in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you remember your history? Do you remember your life before Christ? For those of you who are believers, for those of you who are born-again Christians, do you remember what life was like before you had that moment of salvation? Now, perhaps you've never believed in Jesus, and you've never experienced that forgiveness and salvation. So for those of you who have, do you remember your life without Christ? It may have been a long time ago. Maybe you were just a kid who walked the aisle at a vacation Bible school or at some other children's event. For some of you, though, maybe it was not that long ago, and you've spent a majority of your life without Christ, but now understand what it means to follow him. Well, if you can't remember what that life was like, maybe that's a blessing. But I think if we don't remember the past and what our life was like without Christ, it could also be our undoing as well. And here's why I say that. If you don't know what you are saved from, then sometimes it's hard to not just take this salvation for granted, not to just take this gift that we've been given and just not even really think about it, to just enjoy the fruits of this salvation without realizing the importance of that gift. It can also be hard not to just drift back into that life that supposedly we left behind. That selfish life that was lived only for you. A life where you made the decisions. We know that as humans, we're not that good at making decisions. We're known to fail. That life that you led left you unfulfilled, hoping for something more, something else. See, without Christ, there is no hope. We fail. We screw up. Our friends and family, they fail us. This world we live in will fail us. Without Christ, there is no forgiveness. There's no relief. There is no freedom. You can't help but sin. Your identity is defined by your sin. You are a sinner without Christ. It is who we are as humans, living just in this flesh, in this sinful nature that you and I were born into. Even our very best, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. The moment we forget who we used to be, we begin to look back. Our focus is away from the Lord. We get distracted. We find that it's easy to drift back into that life that we supposedly left behind. A life that runs in direct contrast to God and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. In fact, it says that without the salvation that comes from accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we were, there in this passage, that we were by nature objects of His wrath. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an object of God's wrath, the creator of the world, God most powerful. But before Christ, we were enemies of God. Think about that, enemies of God. And I don't know about you, but that's not a place I want to stay. Before salvation, before our acceptance of Jesus Christ, there in verse 1, it says that we were dead in our sins and transgressions. There was no life. Some of you have been around death. You know what death smells like. There's a stench, a pungent odor where there is no life. And without life in Christ, our life has a stench of decomposition. A wretchedness of decay. But for those of us who follow Christ, we were deceased. We met the end of our existence, and there was no hope. Oh, but thank goodness for verse 4. Let me read that again. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. Because of God's love and His mercy, we were made alive in Jesus Christ. Now, rest assured, God had no obligation to save us. He had no real good reason, in fact, to save us from death. But the Bible says He loved us, that He loved us, that He had great mercy for us. We were dead in our sins. We were going to receive the correct punishment of our sins. Death. Our identity before Christ was one of a dead sinner. Yet God showed great love for us, and He sent His Son to die in our place. To take the death that you and I should have had to experience. He took that for us. And now we are made alive with Him. And when Jesus defeated death, you and I get to share in that victory. We once were a dead sinner, and now we are alive, no longer suffering from the effects of our sin. Imagine what it must be like to experience death firsthand. Y'all awake now, aren't you? Excuse me. You may have know people who may have experienced perhaps what death is like firsthand. There's a number of people in this world who claim to have had a near-death experience. And there's even, you know, people that study what that is, and they look at all the different cases, and they interview these people, and you've probably heard it. You know, it's there's a tunnel, and there's a bright light, and you're out of your body, and there's even just kind of these amazing stories of people who are able to tell other people what's going on to them in a third kind of person experience of things that are going on in an operating room when they have flatlined, when there is no life in their body. So it's kind of some eerie things, but perhaps you've even, you know, seen a movie or read the books here lately. There's been a number of people who've claimed to even have died and gone to heaven for a period of time. There's the little boy, and then there's some other stories like that. And when we begin to look at that, I'm just not sure what exactly of what is true and what is not. You know, some of these things, perhaps other things, they don't necessarily go with what Scripture tells us heaven will be like. So in those cases, I'm gonna go with the Bible over someone's experiences, because we don't know. We don't know what the mind and what the brain is able to make people think they see and think they experience in that time of seemingly death. But you know what? I know someone who experienced death firsthand. In the book of John, there was a man named Lazarus, John chapter 11, and he had been dead, not just minutes, but days, 4 days. You can imagine what that tomb must have begun to smell like there. He was dead. He was so dead. In fact, I talked about that smell, that when Jesus shows up there and asks for the tomb to be opened, they're like, oh, please, no, we don't want to do that. You know, Jesus, I don't know if you've been around dead people after 4 days, but it's not a good thing. We need to leave the tomb where it's at, you know. But he says, open the tomb. And what does he do? He calls out to Lazarus. And suddenly, the man Lazarus, who was dead, did I emphasize that enough? He was dead. Comes hobbling out, wrapped in grave clothes, made alive. You know something amazing about that story that we often overlook? Sure, the miracle that happens is huge, right? Someone being brought back from death to life. But it shows not only that Jesus was God and his ability to do that, it shows us how he loves people. These were close friends of his. It shows he had possessed power over death. But there's something else amazing there. See, when Lazarus comes out, his burial clothes are removed, and Lazarus goes about living his life. And you say, well, yeah, Andy, that makes sense. That's normal. That's a normal response to that. But notice he doesn't go put the burial cloths back on, and he doesn't go hop back into the tomb and ask him to roll the stone back in front. And you say, well, Andy, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why would someone do that, right? That's just silly. But isn't that what we do? When we turn our eyes away from Christ, who has given us new life, has saved us from the tomb of death, saved us from sin, and we begin to turn toward the world, begin to attempt to live life as if we are still dead in our sin and in our transgression, to try to live life as if nothing had changed. I have news for you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've experienced that moment of salvation, that moment in your life where you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, when you've put your faith in him, you are changed, permanently changed. You're no longer dead in your sins. You've been made alive. So it's time to stop acting like we're dead. it's time we stop putting the burial cloths back on and trying to hop back in the tomb from where we've been saved from. It's time to begin living new life as a follower of Christ, a life free from sin. Your identity has changed. You are no longer a dead sinner. You are a follower of Christ who is free from sin, who's been made alive. That sin that you're struggling with, that you've been given the power to overcome, it's time we leave that behind us and move forward. It's time we stop trying to go back. That is no longer your identity. Your identity lies in front of you. You are alive. It's time to live like it. Not only are we alive, not only are we saved, but this passage of Scripture also tells us that we have been made into something new. We once were objects of God's wrath, but now we are God's workmanship. We were created to do good works, which, by the way, it says that God planned for us in advance to do. That was really our identity, that's what was set in motion long ago. And we talked last week about how our identity as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, was really set into place before the foundations of this world were set into place. That God knew that He predestined us, that He chose us, right? We've been adopted into His family. He chose us, and He's created good works for us to do well in advance. God has taken your old identity, what used to be a dead sinner with no hope, no ability for anything good. You were an enemy to God, an object of His wrath, and He's made you alive. Forgiven with the power to overcome sin. He has made you into a tool to be used in His hands to do good works. You are God's workmanship. He has formed you into something new, something capable of not an object of His wrath, but something greater. You are capable of doing great works that He has planned for you to do. That's your purpose. That's your identity, to be used in the hand of God to achieve those good works. That is your identity now. See, you and I can no longer live like we're still dead. I mean, really, it's time for Christians to wake up, right? To live the life that we're called to live. To be full of good works, not filled with sin. It's time for the church to live like the church, to live like the bride of Christ. It's time for the church to no longer live like the world, to no longer look like the world. It's time for followers of Christ to live out that life, to bring hope, to bring salvation, to bring freedom to those who are still dead in their sins and transgressions. You are something new. You have been made something newer if you're a follower of Christ. So stop living like you're not. Stop living a lie. Embrace this new identity. Become who you are meant to be. And that's not some sort of, you know, mumbo jumbo, some sort of psycho, you know, self-help book. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you what God's word tells you. You are a new creation, and it's time to become that. Now, for some of you in this room, you have no idea what you're talking about, but you understand what it means to be dead because you feel that. You feel like there's no hope, that there's got to be something else with this life. You feel empty, and even though you've perhaps tasted everything that the world has to offer, you're still unfulfilled. There is more. And His name is Jesus Christ. You're still stuck in the tomb, maybe not even aware that you're dead. But Jesus Christ is standing at the door of that tomb and He's calling your name. Come alive. Come alive. Receive His grace and His mercy. become made new today. If you want to make that decision, we're going to enter into a time of invitation here in just a minute after I pray. If you need to receive Jesus Christ, if you're ready to move into that life, that identity that God has in store for you, come. I'd love to visit with you more about that. Don't leave here today with a question mark over your head, wondering about whether you're saved or not. Let's nail that down today. For the rest of you, maybe you feel like you have lost focus. You forget what it means to have been without Christ. For some of you, it's been so long, you don't even remember what that's like. But you look around and you start realizing your life looks just like the world. It's time we begin to live differently. Maybe you want to come and join this church. We'd love to have you do that. If you would like to make part of your identity being a member here at First Baptist, we'd love to do that. You can come down and we can begin the paperwork and we begin that process. But let me pray and we'll enter into our time of invitation. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for how you're moving in our lives. God, how you're moving in this church, how you're moving this morning, God, in churches all over the world. God, call your church to live like the church and not the world. God, let us stop living like we're dead, but begin living like we're truly alive, like we've truly been set free from sin. God, I know there's people in this room who are struggling. There is sin that has them so entangled and so wrapped up that they feel like there is no hope, and they're beginning to question their own salvation. God, set them free from that today. God, allow them to put their trust in you, to obediently follow your ways. And God, for those in this room today who are dead, God, who are without you and without your salvation, Father, call them. Call them this morning that they might experience your love and your grace and your mercy. God, move. Move in this place. Move in our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen. As we enter into our time of invitation, would you stand with us as Tim leads us in singing?